Today we're going to talk about the Laplace transform. So we've been working on the Fourier transform for a while. So we know that a Fourier transform can give some help for us, like we can do some frequency analysis to our system to do some kind of in the communication system. We can use remember the modulation property, we can use that. So the idea is why do we still need another transform? There must be something wrong with the Fourier transform, right? Which part of the Fourier transform is not perfect?
You have to do it twice, once for phase and once for amplitude?
No, that's not the one. Yeah.
Shut the door.
So, remember the definition of the Fourier transform. We have the Fourier transform is essentially an integral, right? So there must be some cases like the integral, the result of the integral is infinity. That means the signal is not integrable. And that's the case, in that kind of cases, the Fourier transform do not exist. So Laplace transform is in order to solve this kind of problem. It's more like a generalization for the Fourier transform. Especially for the Fourier transform, we can only use the Fourier transform to analyze the stable system. For the unstable system, the Fourier transform just do not exist. For example, like this.
For this system, we give xt, we have our frequency response, we get yt.
If this is our impulse response ht, the Fourier transform does not exist. And remember the definition of Fourier transform.
What do we call this exponential factor?
The
eigen factor, eigen function, right? It's called eigen function. The magnitude of this exponential is always 1. I don't even know why this is 1 magnitude. Remember that Euler formula, this exponential can be represented by cosine and j omega plus j cosine e to the j theta, will be cosine theta plus j times sine theta. that's our exponential term, compact exponential. If we calculate the magnitude of this cosine and sine is always 1. For this case, the magnitude of this term, this part of the exponential is always 1. That means for the xt, if the integral of the magnitude of xt is equal to infinity, this part is infinity, this part is 1. So the Fourier transform will just equal to infinity. That don't exist, right? And that happens quite often when we deal with the real world systems. Lots of systems are not stable. In this case, we call this system unstable. For this kind of unstable system, we still have other methods to analyze this kind of system. Like we can use the convolution, right? For the some short time analysis, we can use the convolution or directly use the differential equation. Like we write down some kind of dy dt. Some dx, dt, some differential equations like that. We can use the equation to deal with the system, but the Fourier transform just do not work. Based on this motivation, we introduced the two-sized Laplace transform. We call the definition for Fourier transform. We do an integral for xt and this is a to the power of negative j omega. In the definition for Laplace transform, instead of using the j omega, we use s. This the definition of s in more general case is equal to omega plus this here. We only change this term. Previously is the j omega. Here we use a more general term, we use s. So here is if the integral is from negative infinity to positive infinity, we call this the two-sided Laplace transform. In the real world, sometimes we just use the one-sided Laplace transform. It's only from zero to positive infinity. But that's another case. We just started with this
a more general two-sided Laplace transform. If we take a look at this definition, we can easily see there's some clearly relationship between the Laplace transform and the Fourier transform, for Laplace transform. Xs, if s is equal to j omega, if this real part is zero, then it becomes x j omega. That's just the Fourier transform. And this Laplace transform is also an integral. The whether it exists or not, it will depend on this real part of S. This part will decide if the Laplace transform or not. So later on we will need to give some region in which region the Laplace transform will exist. We will have some constraint on the real part of S. Is there any questions for the Laplace transform, the definition?
What is the domain? Like the Fourier transform transfers you into the frequency domain,
right.
And the Laplace transform takes you into
the
S domain.
We call it S domain.
And what is the S domain?
It's not like a Fourier transform, it's just complex domain.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like from the one domain to another domain. And it's not like Fourier transform. Fourier transform we know it's the frequency, right?
Right.
But here it's just S is just a general complex number.
Okay.
So the domain is actually, it's not a line, it's a plane.
Yes, it's a plane. It's S. We call it S plane.
Okay.
Now let's see a real example to give you some more insight on Laplace transform. We give our time domain signal x1 here. Currently we don't know a, it's just constant, but we don't know the exact value of this a. So right now, for this time domain signal x1t, we want to compute the Laplace transform of that. So go to the definition. x1t, what's that?
E to the negative st.
Yes.
since this is the exponential, right, and it will become e minus s plus a t, right, and u t dt. If we get rid of this u t without the constraint the integration area, right, it will become 0 to infinity and what's the integration of this?
Itself. So whole part is our position. It will become s plus a
negative
1. Right. And here is a this t is from 0 to infinity. Here, we will see that if t is equal to 0,
that's just e.
This just e to the power 0 is just 1.
Yeah.
And e here, if this s plus a is greater than 0, it is 0. The whole part is 0. If this s plus a is less than 0, this will become e to the power of infinity, will just become infinity. That means, what's the conclusion here? What was the constraint about s?
It has to be less than 1.
So that means this s plus a have to be positive. Otherwise, this integration do not exist. Everybody with me? Remember here, when s plus a greater than 0, this exponential is 0. If x plus a less than 0, this exponential is infinity. Infinity minus 1 is still infinity. If this part is the infinity, this Laplace transform don't exist. That's our constraint. Which means s has to greater than minus a. That's our constraint for the s.
Is that the magnitude is greater?
It's the real part. But for the Laplace transform, this A could be complex number.
So we're just looking at the real part.
Right. X is a complex number too. We have to make this real part of S greater than real part of negative a.
Okay.
this in Laplace transform, this A, the time domain, also can be complex number. It don't restrict to the real number. Yeah. It's a more general transformation. So if we to get some visualization, if this is the real part, this is the imaginary part, and we call this our estimate. In the real part, let's say here is negative A. So this restriction, that means when S is greater, when S is in this region, we have the Laplace transform. If not, if S is here, there's no Laplace transform. And we call this the IOC region, the region of convergence. In the when we deal with the Laplace transform, we always to in addition to give the Laplace transform result, we also need to give the IOC region. That that IOC region makes the Laplace transform make sense. Otherwise, it do not exist. That's the result doesn't matter. Right. Here, that's our estimate, the IOC region is here. So, everybody with me? Right.
It's kind of straightforward.
Previously, we are dealing with the right side signal. Previously, our xt is just something, definition is something like here, right sided. Now, for the left sided signal,
right signal.
Here, that's our x2t. It's next to this one. So in the real part of it, the magnitude of xt is on the left side of time domain. And we do use the definition of Laplace transform. We give the x2t here and the time e to the negative xt. Remember, here since this is u negative t, the integral region becomes negative infinity to zero. And we do it step by step, and we get this result. And then here is a little bit different from the previous case. The result is 1 minus this part is 1 minus e to the power of s plus a infinity. Here, s, the real part of the s plus a have to be less than 0. That's the only case this is not infinity. If this is greater than 0, the e to the power of infinity is infinity. If we less than 0, it is negative infinity. It's just 0. Remember the definition of exponential. is a negative infinity, it is zero. And the positive infinity is the infinity. We have to make this, that's the reason we have to make this part negative. S plus A has less than zero. I mean the real part of S plus A has less than zero. That means S is less than minus A. We can get that S has to be the left side of this line. This for the left side signal. If XT is left side signal, in this case, the exponential case, it has to be, all the reason has to be in the left. Remember previously, if X is the X1T is in the right side signal, the outer reason has to be right side.
So how do you determine A?
We don't determine A. It's like
A is a general case for this X2T. A can be a 10 anything. We just put it as A. We can also see X2T equals minus 2T U minus T. This case A equals to 2, so the IOC region is just minus 2, that will be here. Because in this course, especially for the when we deal with the circuit and our target system,
the most lot of input will have this kind of potential, and the lot of transform will be this kind of polynomial case. It's always S plus A something 1 over S plus A and 1 over S plus B. This kind of case is for our typical system in this course. The result always like this kind of form. And correspondingly, the IOC region is always this kind of form. It's left, right, or in the middle. You will see in the later slide.
Let's see the rational transform. As I just mentioned that, like for our typical system, the HS, our impulse response, the Laplace transform of our impulse response is always this transform in the S domain. It's a polynomial case in both the top and the bottom. More like this kind of polynomial. And we call it the rational transform. And for this case, this, for example, this XT, we have two parts, right? One part here, this other one, the other part also is exponential. They are
they are both the right sided exponential. We can imagine, right? For this first part, for this right sided exponential, the RC region should be something like it has to be greater than one value. And the second part, it also has to be greater than one value. So the final RC region should be the common part of these two RC regions. If we go through the set for this XT, the Laplace transform, we will finally get through here. So if we see this set, this the real part of the S minus 2 has to be greater than 0. That means S has to be greater than 2. The second part, S has to be greater than minus 1. So greater than minus 1, greater than 2. The common part is the greater than 2. That's our RC region for that. Let me go down one more.
Yeah.
kind of problem we can also take this kind of analysis and go directly to the polynomial regional polynomial case. We can use this pulse. We can also take the middle part. We can use the pulse. If the result is here, we know the pulse is -1, 2. We will know for the right side of the xt. We will directly know it's here.
Okay, it's always going to be to the right of the largest pole?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. And the question here is, do we have a Fourier transform for this signal? For this x, t. Do we have a Fourier transform?
We don't.
Why?
Because it's the left side.
What to remember, where is the Fourier transform? Fourier transform is S is J omega, right? That means the real part of S is 0 plus J omega. Here is our Fourier transform. If the RC region is don't include this two, this axis, that's no Fourier transform. Everybody with me?
So the Fourier transform is a line in the complex plane?
No. It's not a line, but that's we use here, ROC region. We can decide if it exists or not. If the ROC region includes this line, the Fourier transform exists. If not, for this case, don't include this line. It does not exist. It's not the shape of the Fourier transform. It's just we decided to exist or not.
How did you get the Fourier transform? Or the zero part of that? We can know that it's not in the
function. You mean how to get the Fourier transform?
Like what it would be if it existed?
In this
zero.
Case, it do not exist.
Right.
If it exists, search for this is we just put S, replace S and J omega. Then it's the Fourier transform. Right.
Oh, I understand that S is J omega because that's the
that's
domain,
right.
But on that you got S is equal to 0 plus, oh, because 0 plus something is that thing.
Right.
Okay.
That means the real part of this.
So
the Fourier transform is that's here.
The region of convergence has to include 0.
Has
like
to include this 0.
For every.
Yeah, otherwise it will not exist.
Okay.
But here, this, in this case, for our xt, the Fourier transform do not exist, right? But the Laplace transform still exists. As long as the real part of S greater than 2. That's the advantage of the Laplace transform. So, for the properties of the ROC region, as we covered, as I mentioned before, if the if our xt is the right-sided signal, the ROC region should be like that. If it's left-sided, the ROC region is look like that. If it's bounded, if our signal is bounded into here, from A to B, if the Laplace transform is exist, the ROC region is also bounded. That's the whole idea of this slide.
So if it's bounded, is it a Fourier transform?
It is bounded. It's a case by case. If the region, if the gray region, if the region is include this axis, include zero point for transforming this. If not, do not exist.
Here.
This is that this case for the reason for the bounded XT get this kind of RLC reason, we can imagine that for the IOC region, it gets two constraints. One is it has to be greater than some value, right? The other is it has to be less than some value. So the common part has to become the bounded. It will become like this. If it exists, sometimes it does not exist. Right. If such as if this QL is here, if the Laplace transform has to be either here or there, there's no share part, Laplace transform does not exist. Here is an example of the two-sided signal. Here, the ST has two sides, and the Laplace transform has on this. If you do this step by step, it will get this two constraints. Finally, the first constraint, the real part of S has to be less than D, this part. The second constraint, the real part has to be greater than negative D, has to be less. So if B, here in this case B is greater than 0. If B is less than 0, Laplace transform does not exist. Everybody with me? If B is less than 0, there's no common part for the RLC region. let me draw a picture for you.
If negative B were greater than 0, the Laplace transform would exist also, correct?
If B, here in this case B is greater than 0, it exists.
B were greater than 0.
Negative B greater than 0. B is less than 0, do not exist.
Let me
think
more quick.
Why is that bounded with negative B, like, not at 0 in that graph?
Huh?
I mean,
this case is, this graph is for B greater than 0, right? So the B is on the right side.
Yeah.
And if let's say if B is less than 0, here is B. From the first term, the real part has to be less than B. The second part, the real part has to be what here is negative B. It has to be greater than negative B.
See, in this case, that's just a conflict with each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's no RLC region, and RLC region, there's nothing common there. So that do not exist the Laplace transform.
and also we, in this course, most cases we deal with the that kind of polynomial case. The Laplace transform result is always the polynomial. And the outer region is always like that.
Okay, this is the final slide.
That's in this figure. The Laplace transform is here. Question is, can we unitically determine the region of this? Can we from this, can we get back to our real picture?
I'm guessing so,
why?
Well, I mean, then you have to go backwards through the end of it.
Got another reason, the RST.
If we do some analysis, we have two parts, right? Minus 1 and 2. So, we only give the Laplace transform, we didn't give the LC region. So then the IOC region can be three cases, right? First case can be here. Second case can be in this band. Third case can be the right of this grid vector. For each case, we can have we can trace back to get the XT. Got an idea? So that three possible XT here.
On the slides, the regions of convergence have been in two. Okay, so we know that if a signal has a Fourier transform, like the region of convergence will cover zero. But also, I mean, this seems really circular. Like, the region of convergence can be around that region only if it has a Fourier transform. How do you know whether or not it has a Fourier transform without looking at the region of convergence?
That's the importance of the ROC region. If we only give the result, we don't give the ROC region.
So we have no way to check as whether it's Fourier or not.
Right.
We have no idea.
We have no idea. Also, we have no idea about the XT. Because XT can be three cases. In this case, that means the XT is less than it. If that case, XT is less than it, the U minus T, this case the U T, it is the band, XT is both sided.
Okay.
That's the importance to get the IOC region corresponding to the Fourier transform. It has to be appear as a pair. Both here and this. Okay, that's it for today.